he knew, and he wasn't going to preserve one of those daughters. And that has become a basis, one of the most abominable racist views. That shows how far people will go on this subject. God spared one family. But there's another question. Where did some of these other people come from? The giants, Anak, for example. Now, the Jews deal with it by saying one old giant, Og, he hung onto the ark and survived the flood. Some Jews say that. I believe that's as fanciful as the idea that there was some bad blood in some of the wives. And it's not only some Christian races that have had that idea. There have been some in the Hebrew stream that have done it. They justify their doctrine for saying that Ham's the only guy that played around on the ark. Some real strange doctrines that you've got to steer your way through when you get on this subject, which is why most people stay off the subject. I tread where angels fear to tread. What happened to these hybrids? I'm going to jump the gun on you and tell you. I really believe that demon possession that we have to deal with, and the reality of that legion that was in that demoniac boy of the Gadarenes, are these formless spirits set free from their hybrid body by the flood, wandering the earth, waiting for the day of their final doom and destination. And their only form that they can work through is an alter ego form that they must take possession of. I'm going to make some people so angry when I say this that they'll be mad at me for the rest of their life. I've been asked thousands of times, what about reincarnation? Like parapsychology, I am driven by facts. I no longer doubt that extrasensory perception occurs. Colgate and other universities have proven beyond any question it occurs. The question is how. I am totally convinced that the evidence for reincarnation is past the point of saying it does. The evidence doesn't exist. It does. The evidence for reincarnation is there. Yet the Bible, for human souls, says no. If there's any one thing the Bible teaches, it teaches non-reincarnation and one trip for the human soul. Is that before your way of life, way of death? Individuality of the human soul that is destined one of two places. I give you texts by the dozens. Not philosophic, inductive type evidentiary texts, simple, straightforward texts like the souls that are under the altar that must wait in the book of Revelation until other martyrs join them. No reincarnation. Existential oneness of the identity. A soul, I don't know what it is. Adam was created and God breathed. Ruach is the word in the Hebrew, and he became a living soul. Fear him that can destroy both soul and body in hell. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? It doesn't wander through the countless centuries of time in ever repeating incarnations. I respect that. I understand the theory of karma. I understand the wheel of life in Oriental religions. I understand their search for nirvana, where you escape from the force of karma and you live out the life karma that's built up. And because of the enlightenment, nirvana, the trance-like state, the loss of identity with self and Buddhism or the roots of Vedanta faith, you escape that wheel of life into oneness with the that which is behind all that, that's not even given a name for fear you somehow distort it by differentiating it. I respect the religions that believe it because the evidence is there. Shall I quit? Why don't we just go home? Mike's to blame. Yeah, he's the one. What'd you do this time, Mike? Huh? The Bible's anti-reincarnation. Now, I'll be challenged on this, but that's all right. The Bible teaches individuality. You got this trip here, and that's it, my friend. Your eternal destiny is fixed one way or the other, right here. Old George Patton may think he fought in all those battles. Some of the most respected people in the world believe in reincarnation. Why? Because of the evidence. The evidence is there. No question about it. Now, if the Bible says the destiny of the human soul is not reincarnation, what are we going to do with all this evidence? Somebody else is going from generation to generation to generation to generation to generation. Who has those memory traces? Somebody else was around when Nero was consorting with some broad. May have been using the body of Nero's broad. Somebody else was around. When they were working on a pyramid. And remember some of the details of a priest in that day. He was in that priest. You see, once the demons were cast out of that boy of the Gadarenes, there were so many of them in him, they drove him crazy. He was still himself. He, without the demons in him, he cleaned up and was an outstanding citizen in Gadarene territory. Now, the first one Jesus ran into was worshiping in the synagogue. Apparently, the demon in him wasn't giving him too much trouble. He didn't even have to scratch his itches. He worshiped like everybody else. I've seen all kinds of them in synagogues. I mean, not really, I haven't. That's not true. I haven't seen them in synagogues. I've seen them in the Christian replacement of synagogues, churches. I've seen a lot of demons in churches worshiping God. I mean, they're really going at it. You know that? You see, I believe. Hey, I got a right to an opinion. I always distinguish between my opinions and fact. I don't have any proof of this. I just have a Bible that rejects reincarnation and evidence that supports it. And what's the connecting link? This other bunch of half-breeds that lost their bodies in the flood. What are you going to do with them? I mean, they're not like human beings that are in their destined place, some abode, paradise, or whatever in between, where Jesus went and talked to them. They have only one destiny. God's not going to stoop down and help them. They're a strange hybrid product of an illicit union. They got a form that's not going to be resurrected. Or if it is, maybe it is going to be. Maybe that's the form they're going to have throughout hell. But in the meantime, that eternal demon product side of that hybrid unit running loose without a form, looking for one. You see, I've always tried to figure out how the electrons and protons, neutrons and substantial elements. See, I don't believe some things people believe about the devil. He's not omniscient. He's not omnipresent. He's got form. Jesus saw him fall. He's not unlimited in his capacity to take any shape he wants. He's not going to be a watermelon today and a snake tomorrow and an elephant day after tomorrow. And he doesn't have a tail. He isn't red. He doesn't have a forked pitchfork and doesn't have horns. He's what he is. He never has lost his shape. Nowhere at any time. He wrestled with Michael over the body of Moses. But these hybrid creatures, they are not like the ones who left the first estate. They're a new creation. What are you going to do with them? They're hunting bodies. They're running loose. The ones that aren't chained somewhere, or that's why they didn't want to be sent to that pit for their time. They're still running loose. They survived the flood. The body didn't. Their strange hybrid form didn't. They did. You look at me like a bunch of glassy-eyed lobsters. They got to find a body to occupy. That explains demon possession to me. For the life of me, I can't see what in the world a demon wants to give up that glorious body that he had. Now, what if some of those who went in the pit were just put there by God? There's some strange creatures in that pit. But these that are running loose are bodiless. They got to have a form. And when I've said before, there ain't no way I would have ever caught a fish out of the Sea of Galilee after that happening. You couldn't have paid me enough money to swim in that lake. Doesn't that make sense? My Lord, I'd rather go swimming with a piranha than swim in that lake after those pigs ran in it. I mean, they got permission to go on the pigs. Where'd they go when the pigs drowned? What's this got to do with Edgar Cayce? Am I boring you? You see, Edgar Cayce saw visions. Boy, a lot of things he's seen came true. You say you think he was a godly man? Well, he was a good Sunday school teacher, I'll tell you that. I know he loved God. And all of his revelations came while he was in a sleep, his sleep. I mean, this guy is the most... I've heard of people talking in their sleep. But nobody like Edgar Cayce. Man, he talked in his sleep and said things that boggle the mind. He didn't know anything about what he talked about usually. And he talks about Atlantis and he talks about this earth 50,000 years ago. He talks about Atlantis going through three phases of destruction. Now, what's Atlantis? That Great civilization so advanced it was the greatest civilization, as the Solon from Egypt told Plato, ever happened, ever existed. And all of a sudden, in one terrible day, it disappeared. But a lot of people who read Plato forget that that same Solon says there have been several destructions. Now, Edgar Cayce saw Atlantis go through three phases of destruction. Now, I'm going to tell you right off the bat, I believe the Garden of Eden was on Atlantis. Just, you know, I won't dangle you. I believe the Garden of Eden was on Atlantis. I'm going to tell you straight going out the gate, I believe Atlantis existed. I'm going to tell you straight going out the gate that if it wasn't destroyed earlier, and I don't believe it was destroyed in the flood. But Cayce saw three destructions. Now, that makes sense to me. If Eden was Atlantis, my Bible tells me that Satan was in Eden before he fell. And when we encounter him in Genesis 1, he's in Eden after he fell. And I believe Atlantis was the mountain of God, and I believe that that's how the sons of God came down. I believe that on Atlantis was a great mountain that's the source of all that worship in every primitive tribe and every primitive religion of the mountain of God that transposes to Olympus and legitimately will be redone as Mount Zion, why Zion is so important in Scripture. And that that mountain went through this firmament would explain why the doggone people think that that fellow who came down and told them all this thing about those stars came from the land of the fishes. I mean, when you go through water to get somewhere, you're in the land of the fishes, aren't you? Kind of slow, you know, you're getting tired. Want me to teach, and then when I do it, you go dead on me. Got a bunch of dead heads and dead butts sitting here. Edgar Cayce saw ,000 years, three separate calamities hit Atlantis. The mountain was destroyed first. In the third phase, Atlantis was primarily a bunch of islands, and then it was destroyed. Now, we've got to answer another question. Was the flood universal? Is there a slight possibility that some mankind and some animals survived? Now, Christians don't believe in evolution. That's in quotes. I think it doesn't necessarily have to be an issue. But have you ever sat down and figured out the dimensions of the ark? Just do it sometime. Now that you know what the sacred cubit is, you can figure it out. Sacred cubit's 25 pyramid inches. And you know how long the pyramid inch is? It's a half a hair longer than the British inch. So take the hair off your head and cut it in half. And lay it down alongside the British inch. And that's your pyramid inch. And sacred cubits, 25 of them. It's the club that guy used to beat on his wife last night. And the inch is the splinter. Now you figure out how big the ark is. Now put Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives. That's eight. Now, they got to have a commode. They got to have provisions, food in store for them. So build your cupboards. And put elephants and alligators and crocodiles and black widow spiders. Ass. Pythons, water moccasins, diamondback rattlesnakes. Lions? Polar bears? They're mean critters, by the way, you know that? Polar bears? And two of each. Rabbits? And you say when they come in, we only got so much space here, kids. I mean, let's play Noah tonight. Hippos, Bengal tigers, leopards, rats, snails. Escargots. Or should I say escargots? Or escargots? For my English teachers out there. Fleas. Coons, raccoons, possums, dogs, cats, weasels, badgers, platypuses, kangaroos, ostrich. Deer, reindeer, elk, grizzly bear, pheasants, quail, dove, chickens, turkeys, beaver. Beavers. Rhinoceros. Giraffe. Put the holes in the roof for. Owls. Eagles. Vultures. Horses, jackasses, gorillas, ants, ladybugs, beetles. Worms. How else could you fish? Worms. Centipedes. Robins. Sparrows. See if you're trying to help me up there. Monkeys. Bamboos. Chimpanzees. Koala bears. What's those? They're so hard to mate. Pandas. My Lord, what if we'd lost one? Now, Japheth, you be bet. And Shem, you clean the floors. Lice. cobras. Gila monsters. Coyotes. Bighorn ram. Mooses. Ticks. Seed ticks. Chiggers. You bored?
No.
Nice view on satellite, you know. Don't have to worry about the clock. We can just keep going. Chiggers. Ground squirrels. Ground hogs. Porcupines. Skunks. Can you imagine what it'd be like if a couple of skunks got aggravated on that trip? Now, I could go on and on. You know, let's just stop and think for a minute. You know, the book of Jasher helps us understand some of the problems they had with those animals on that boat. The book of Jasher helps us understand how he got them in that boat. I'm telling you, my friend, there ain't enough space in the ark for two of all the animals. Simple fact. You're destroying my faith. No, no, I'm going to make it solid. Well, how do we get them all then? Well, man, mutations and evolution in 3,000 years? A grizzly bear mutates into a louse? Well, I don't care. The Apostle Peter said eight souls. Joshua said the sun stopped. The Bible records people's honest impressions, not necessarily always a scientific truism. We know the sun didn't stop. Just look that way to Joshua. The Bible's recording the way he understood it. Do you have any idea? The Bible's a record of the way it looked. John's got some strange expressions, too, the way things look. Ezekiel saw some strange-looking things, too. He described them the way they looked to him. I believe Peter thought there's only eight souls. Maybe there were only eight. Maybe that's all there were. God didn't say there were only eight. Say, well, now you're meddling with the Bible. How do you know when God's speaking when he isn't? Well, he makes pretty clear, thus saith the Lord. Peter had a lot of strange ideas. Paul had to withstand him to his face. Oh, I know, some poor bibliolatrists are already crying. I'll put my faith in God's word up against anybody listening to me. Just time we start boring some holes in our head and letting some... You really think all those animals, two of every kind, was in that ark? Measure it out, friends. I'm just going to leave you right there. I'm going to leave you right there. There's an explanation. I'm going to introduce you to Edgar Cayce. The six books which have been written about him have told more than I... Unlike most people who teach on Atlantis, I'm starting with Cayce. The six books which have been written about him have totaled more than a million in sales. Hey, Atlantis would have been the headquarters of the world. By the way, he saw a great exodus from Atlantis down to Egypt. And he saw him put all the knowledge that mankind had into the pyramid. The six books which have been written about him have totaled more than a million in sales. More than 10 other books have devoted sections to his life and talents. This is written by his son. Well, not really. Under the editorship of his son. More than 10 books have devoted sections to his life and talents. He's been featured in dozens of magazines and newspaper articles from 1900 to the present. Now, am I a case follower? No. I'm not a Nostradamus follower. I just want an explanation of this. What was so unique about him depends on your point of view. A number of his contemporaries knew the waking Edgar Cayce as a gifted professional photographer. Big deal. Another group, predominantly children, admired him as a warm and friendly Sunday school teacher. His own family knew him as a husband and father. The sleeping Edgar Cayce was an entirely different figure. A psychic known to thousands of people in all walks of life. Many had cause to be grateful for his help. Some of them believed that he alone either saved or changed their lives when all seemed lost. The sleeping Edgar Cayce was a medical diagnostician, a prophet, and a devoted proponent of Bible lore. By the way, I'll save that. In June 1954, the University of Chicago held him in sufficient esteem to accept a PhD thesis based on a study of his life and work. In this thesis, the author referred to him as a religious seer. That same June, the children's comic book, House of Mystery, bestowed on him the impressive title of America's Most Mysterious Man. Even as a child on a farm near Hopkinsville, Kentucky, where he was born on March 18, 1877, Edgar Cayce displayed powers of perception which seemed to extend beyond the normal range of the five senses. This book is Edgar Cayce on Atlantis by Edgar Evans Cayce. At the age of 6 or 7, he told his parents he was able to see and talk to visions, sometimes of relatives who had recently died. His parents attributed this to the overactive imagination of a lonely child. Hope I got enough years with most of you to know, everywhere I go when I finish, God's word stands stronger. His parents attributed this to the overactive imagination of a lonely child who had been influenced by the dramatic language of the revival meetings, which were popular in that section of the country. Later, by sleeping with his head on his school books, he developed a form of photographic memory which helped him advance rapidly in a country school. Well, don't knock it till you try it. Now, how many of you have tried it? You tried it? Think how dumb you'd be if you hadn't. This faded, however, and Edgar was only able to complete the 7th grade before he had to seek his own place in the world. In 1898, at the age of 21, he became a salesman for a wholesale stationery company. About this time, he developed a gradual paralysis of the throat muscles, which threatened the loss of his voice. When the doctors were unable to find a physical cause for these conditions, hypnosis was tried, but failed to have any permanent effect. As a last resort, Edgar asked a friend to help him re-enter the same kind of hypnotic sleep. That's a little different. Not just sleeping, hypnotic sleep. That had enabled him to memorize his school books as a child. His friend gave him the necessary suggestion, and once he was in self and coup de trance. Edgar came to grips with his own problem. He recommended medication and manipulative therapy, which successfully restored his voice and cured his throat trouble. Got it in a trance. A group of physicians from Hopkinsville in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Hey, this guy, I always get amused when people call me from Virginia Beach. The research center of his readings is in Virginia Beach. And like so many things, people just laugh at it and say, ah, bunch of bunk. They don't know anything. You see, I believe in supernatural things. I don't believe that God's the only person working. Neither do I believe the devil's the only person working. I think there are recessive genes in mankind throw back to Adam's day, before the fall. Once in a while, in the 10 millionth ratio, they'll crop out. And you've got a natural parapsychic. I believe Adam had skills and abilities. I'm going to just... That dirty rat blew it for all of us. But I believe there are demon forces. This guy at the gathering can break chains beyond natural strength. And I believe they just keep living from life to life. And if they're in you, if they can talk through you, they can also affect your mind, give you memory of past ages that they were in. See, in this book, we're going to encounter somebody that was in a past life in great detail, with no knowledge of history, can tell you things. Terrible music student. Until she played something related to that time. Could tell you things about the days of Nero that she had never studied. And Case's viewpoint is, he calls them entities. The entity was in a past life one of Nero's girlfriends. I've been around a long time, folks. Just, I usually come out, don't I? Am I boring you?
No.
Yeah, somebody said. A group of physicians from Hopkinsville and Bowling Green, Kentucky, took advantage of his unique talent to diagnose their own patients. They soon discovered that Case only needed to be given the name and address of the patient, and then was able to tune in telepathically on that individual's mind and body, wherever he was, as easily as if they were both in the same room. He needed and was given no other information regarding any patient. Just name and address. One of the young MDs, Dr. Wesley Ketchum, submitted a report on this unorthodox procedure to a clinical research society in Boston. On the 9th of October, 1910, the New York Times carried two pages of headlines and pictures. From that day on, invalids from all over the country sought help from the, quote, Wonder Man. When Edgar Case died on January 3rd, 1945, in Virginia Beach, Virginia, he left well over 14,000 documented stenographic records of the telepathic clairvoyant statements he had given for more than 8,000 different people over a period of 43 years. That's a heap of dictated information. Do you know how this will blow the mind of some of the Baptists down across this country, Kent? Oh, Scott, he's going off the deep end. No, I'm still standing right on the deck. I'm right on the deck. Yeah, it fascinates me. I'm going to end up proving the Bible. Well, I'm done. He said, won't you do something? I'm not reviewing tonight, am I? These typewritten documents are referred to as quote, readings. These readings constitute one of the largest, most impressive records of psychic perception ever to emanate from a single individual. You know that he died in 1945, and he said, late 60s, early 70s, near Bimini in the Caribbean, there would be a rising of belief beneath the surface matters, and they would discover remnants of Atlantis, a city beneath the sea there. Well, my friend, it's happened. Whether it's Atlantis or not, they found them. I don't have to change my faith. Bible's going to be solider when I'm done. Hey, the false prophet in the last day going to make, and I'm not saying, in case false prophet, he loved and taught Sunday school kids. Don't blame the poor guy for what came out of him when he was sleeping. You ever watch yourself sleep? You ever listen to what you say? Huh? No, I prove to myself I don't snore many times. I stay awake all night to see. I respect this guy. These readings constitute one of the largest, most impressive records of psychic perception ever to emanate from a single individual. Together with their relevant records, correspondence, and reports, they've been cross-indexed under thousands of subject headings and placed at the disposal of the psychologists, students, writers, and investigators who come in increasing numbers to examine them. Now, when I was a boy, this guy run around seeing through a glass eye. But when I wanted to examine the evidence, they threw me out. That only worked. Wouldn't work if non-faith was present. These people will let you go examine. An approximate breakdown of the readings, according to subject matter, indicate that about 60% are physical diagnosis. 20% are life readings of people. The remaining 20% may be grouped under the heading Other. And the Other category includes readings on business topics, mental and spiritual themes, dream interpretation, and a variety of miscellaneous subjects. A foundation known as the Edgar Cayce Foundation, located at 67th and Atlantic Avenue, Virginia Beach, Virginia, was founded to preserve these readings. An open membership research society exists, organized in 1932, continues to index and catalog the information, initiate investigation and experiments, promote conferences, seminars, and lectures dealing with the readings and related material. The life readings are the ones that mention incarnations in Atlantis. Now, where does Cayce come in on Atlantis? Because many of the troubled people who came to him that he gave readings on, his readings claim, not only did some of them have reincarnations through many historic times, a vast percentage of them that were troubled people had reincarnations, past lives in Atlantis. Now, just suppose some of those bodiless demons in life after life who lived on Atlantis as the descendants of that illicit union have continued to live in people, like that fellow going to the synagogue that said to Jesus, "Don't send me. Have you come to torment?" Jesus said, "Don't identify me." That guy looked like any other worshiper. Nobody else had noticed him. On Atlantis, they were the product of an illicit union, let's say, going about their business. Because you see, these are dual nature. The whole mission of Cayce is, the whole thing he talks about, I'll tell you, hold on a minute. The life readings describing past lives in Atlantis as if they were experiences in early England and early America. I mean, some of the people came to him, he in his sleep reading, he'd tell them, you know, you were the consort of Nero. You were in the battle when Joshua was fighting Amalek. And in great detail, you were living in Atlantis. And here, and you described the everyday life and everything that's going on in Atlantis. And through a period of years and multitudinous subjects, a great percentage of whom had Atlantis existence, you're able to put together a vast history of time on Atlantis that takes it through three separate destruction periods. You say, you believe that? Believe that happened? I believe Atlantis exists. I don't know whether this happened or not. I just know he had some of the strangest dreams. Now, he also was able to prophesy some future things. And he had a pretty good record. A lot better than Gene Dixon. I mean, National Enquirer get rich off him today. The life readings describing past lives in Atlantis as if they were experiences in early England or early America cover a period of 20 years. Between 1924 and 1944, he had a host of patients come that had problems, and as he gave them readings for those 20 years, a great percentage of them had past lives that included time in Atlantis. Hey, this poor guy, he never got out of this. Past the seventh grade. He didn't know that much about Atlantis. Man, I'm accumulating one of the... There's one other guy who claims to have the greatest library on Atlantis in existence. I'm trying harder. I'm number two, but I'm trying harder. I'm going to have it. You bored? It's okay to be tired, but are you bored? They are the most fantastic. That's these, you know, nobody thinks, the evidence of reincarnation has not been too overwhelming when people, it's like, if you saw the movie Patton, he suddenly, turn over here. Remember that? Turn over here. That's a dumb, you know, so the battlefield, the other direction, General. Turn here. And he drives, and old big nose San Francisco cop that was a general in that movie, what's his name? Alden. Bless his dear old heart. That tells poor old Patton that he was just a pain. Patton never even looks back. He was here. I was here. And he describes the battle. And old Big Nose or somebody says, General, you describe it like you were here. Well, I was. Then he quotes that poem, war after war and battle after battle, as he fought through them all. That isn't too strange. I mean, those who believe in reincarnation talk about it. That's rather normal. But here is a guy who pushed the past reincarnation life back to day-to-day life experiences in Atlantis. He didn't know anything about it. They're the most fantastic, the most bizarre, the most impossible information in the Edgar Case files. They're there to be read. They drive you nuts. Now, it would be easy to present a very tight evidential picture of Edgar Case's psychic ability and the helpfulness of his readings if we selected only those which are confirmed and completely validated. This would not be fair in a total overall evaluation of his life's work. My brother, the author, and I know that Edgar Case, this is written by his son, my brother, the author, and I know that Edgar Case did not read Plato's material on Atlantis or books on Atlantis. And that he, so far as we know, had absolutely no knowledge of this subject. If his unconscious fabricated this material or wove it together from existing legends and writings, we believe that it's the most amazing example of a telepathic clairvoyant scanning of existing legends and stories in print or of the minds of persons dealing with the Atlantis theory. As my brother and I have said from time to time, life would be simpler if Edgar Case had never mentioned Atlantis. So before others can point to these readings as unbelievable and impossible, here's the whole story. As the authors pointed out, there's a strange consistency within the hundreds of psychic readings given over a period of 20 years. They will take you back into pre-recorded history to lands of myth and legend and forward into a future of literally earth-shaking changes. Whether you're a science fiction fan, someone interested in the psychic, or simply one who enjoys a good story, you'll find in the following pages a totally new account of man on earth and a new concept of his relationship to God and his fellow man. I must warn you, though, if you persist in reading this book, you may never be able to return to your former views about these things. Can I skip over Atlantis for just a moment? Robert Dunbar's parents listened in amazement to their 9-year-old son. Robert's face glowed with excitement and enthusiasm as he began to recount at dinner the results of his first afternoon's experiment with his new chemistry set. It just dawns on me I didn't stop at an hour and a half, so we can't use this on Channel 56, so I just might as well go 3 hours so we can use it on Sunday. Robert's face glowed with excitement and enthusiasm as he began to recount at dinner the results of his first afternoon's experiments with his new chemistry set. He had already performed practically all of the experiments outlined in the manual. His conversation was full of technical terms and the newfound thrill of putting various chemicals together. 9 years old. He was especially excited as he described how with just a few more ingredients he'd be able to make gunpowder and thus create his own firecrackers and other fireworks to celebrate New Year's Eve. The chemistry set had really been an experiment, for the parents were beginning to explore suggestions made in Edgar Cayce's life reading for Robert. This experiment was to lead the Dunbars into a new understanding of psychic perception and open for them the door into a whole new world of the theory of reincarnation and urges from previous lives. Robert had seemed merely a bright little boy until they began to see him through the eyes of this reading. Now many of his talents, tendencies, and abilities begin to form a new portrait. And let me anticipate some places I'm going. I don't deal in fear. I'm going to tell you something. If these bodiless demons are running loose, there is no man on this earth any adequate match. That's why Paul said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You see, a lot of people think they can go through life and just do what they want with God. And I have taught prevenient grace says it's no accident when God gets your attention, God starts the initiative. But only one power can deliver man from the clutches of Satan, and he's the prince of the power of the air, and he's in charge down here. And that power is God's spirit, and God will give his spirit to people who have faith in him, and only those. It's why all this self-righteous business doesn't impress me much. I have a lot of self-righteous people inhabited by demons. You want to hear that again? Churches are full of people that keep all the rules and look very righteous, inhabited by demons. Because only those that act in faith toward God will have God put them in Christ and His Spirit in them. And that Spirit of God can deliver you. Nothing else. You never forget. I may deal with a lot of strange subjects, but all the subjects that I've dealt with and that I'm interested in, ultimately, to unravel them all, I was driven to God. I've made the trip. God is the answer. I just threw that in. William Dunbar remembered the day of his son Robert's life reading and the funny sensation he felt when Edgar Cayce speaking from a sleep-like state charged him and Elizabeth with a grave responsibility in rearing the child. The reading described Robert's past lives in Germany, India, Egypt, and the legendary country of Atlantis. In Germany, he was associated with an application of steam to move objects. In India, he developed a combination of chemicals that produced explosives which were used against enemy tribes. References were made to electrical and mechanical work done with mathematical precision in other incarnations. The warning words of the reading rang again in his ears. You can find these. They're all indexed. This was the reading over that boy. They're numbered and indexed, so you can find them, though the names are changed in this particular book, but you can go read the original. For we find the abilities of this entity. That's how Case in his sleep trance prophecy would always refer to this part that was passing from carnation to carnation. For we find the abilities of this entity especially beyond the ordinary. Hence the necessity of directing Robert in the proper channels that the world, the peoples, the nations may gain that advantage of the abilities of the entity. I always referred to that trance or reincarnating unit as the entity. For turned in wrong channels, his abilities may become warnings to many that though they gain the whole world and lose their own soul, what has been gained? This enthusiasm with the chemical set and the immediate attempt to make explosives was the first sign of the accuracy of Edgar Cayce's description. You see, he had done the reading before the kid's talents took shape. This enthusiasm with the chemical set and the immediate attempt to make explosives was the first sign of the accuracy of Edgar Cayce's description of Robert Dunbar, but by no means the last. At an early age, Robert developed an interest in cars and all mechanical apparatus. In high school, he became interested in electricity. Encouraged by his parents, he went on to earn a degree in electrical engineering. He became interested in his life reading himself and referred to it more than once during World War II when he made or had decisions to make. Electrical engineers were sought for all kinds of assignments during the war years. Some involved defense installations, others ways of dealing greater death and destruction to the enemy. Robert moved toward the former, toward radar work. When Rommel's troops were overrunning Africa and an invasion of South America seemed imminent, Robert was busily supervising the installation of a radar network in the West Indies to protect the Panama Canal and the Trinidad oil fields. At the war's end, there were again choices to be made, and these decisions were not always easy. You bored? In the fall of 1945, Robert wrote the following letter to his parents. This is follow-up on a life that had a reading. Dear Mom and Dad, today I had to make another choice, and I hope you will think I did the right thing. The Colonel assembled all of us who are working here at the lab. You know, I now have enough points to go back to civilian life, but they are pushing hard to keep officers in the reserve. There is a chance to stay in the Army at my present rank with good chances of promotion. So the Colonel says, and transfer to Wright-Patterson Field in Dayton, Ohio. There's a possibility. The work is secret, but I think it has something to do with missiles. Some of the captured German scientists will be there, and I am sure it won't be long before they tie that in with the atomic bomb. A country with such a weapon would be invincible. You know how I feel about the Army, but there's another possibility. They are offering good civil service jobs to those with military electronics experience. It would be similar work, but as a civilian. And this is much more appealing to me than the military deal. The pay is almost twice that of my old civilian electric power company job. The catch is, the work is on destructive equipment, missiles and bombs. I read my reading over again, and it is funny how I was sent to the Caribbean near where Edgar Cayce said I once lived and where records may someday be discovered of Atlantis. Cayce said there will be records discovered. This time I felt my work was constructive, not destructive. That is why today I decided against going into the missile program either as an officer or civilian. Now, can I stop right here and say, already 4.5 hours today, I have talked for, I came on live today on NCN. Probably, did I teach on Hebrews today, Joe? You know what's playing?
No, so this, today you preached on the Sunday morning service immediately available for us. I don't know what it was this afternoon. I
preached Sunday service. I do a lot of Bible teaching. Festival's different. I do a lot of Bible teaching there too. This time I felt my work was constructive, not destructive. That is why today I decided against going into the missile program, either as an officer or civilian. I hate turning down the good pay, and a lot of my friends are going. They think I'm crazy to go back to an electric utility job, and maybe I am. But at least it seems to be more constructive work. I am sure there will be a big demand for electric service once all the priorities are off and people start living like human beings again. I hope you both will think I made the right decision. Love, Robert. Since the war, things seem to have gone well for Robert. He hasn't gotten rich, but he has a beautiful wife, two fine children, his health, and a comfortable living. The author here says, I know Robert pretty well since he's active in the affairs that they share together. And once I asked him if he ever regretted not going on to higher pay and possible fame in another field, he smiled and said, I've thought of it sometimes, but you know, most of the things I want, I already have. I suppose few people today are happier than Robert Dunbar. Now, Case always advised them when they came to him with readings that if they had these reincarnations, there was always a warfare. There was a force working in them that worked for destruction, and a force working in them that could reach for constructive things, and they had to fight against the destructive. Well, Paul says to every Christian, if such were some of you. And what the Holy Spirit does when you act in faith on God's word is God puts you in Christ, finished product, gives you that already, grace, unmerited favor, but puts the Spirit in you to help you start walking God's way, the faith way. Now, I don't believe everybody's got demons in them. I think that it's a very small minority of this world's population that has ever had an experience of reincarnation identity. I think it's almost a minute percentage. But there are people who have, and this book is full of illustrations as well as others, of people who could not have known. They weren't history students. They have this recollection. You then cross-file it, those that have searched it out, and they're accurate. Very small minority. Now, the Bible tells me reincarnation, I'm convinced, is not the route of the soul of mankind. So which life substance keeps leapfrogging through the centuries? And if what we just read in the New Testament is true, there are certain demons that do that. We know they've been around. Which ones? Now, you can take my opinion or just say they're all that way, you know. You have demons just manifest themselves in any form, but occasionally they'd rather be in yours. How do you explain demon possession? I believe it. Have to, or I don't believe the gospel. Now, contrast this Robert Dunbar story, constructive application of the readings, that those readings became a warning and he resisted anything that was destructive. Remember, Edgar Case has a recollection of being a priest in Atlantis among those that Exodus out of Atlantis to Egypt. Contrast this story of a constructive application with that of another young man. At the time of his first reading, he was in college. The parallel between him and Robert was such they might have been friends in Atlantis. Here was another individual with great scientific ability. Electrical and mechanical work was again suggested, and again there were stern warnings that his ability should be directed in constructive channels. The extracts from this reading have been paraphrased. The reading opened by saying, many individuals of unusual abilities, both for good and bad, were being incarnated in the earth at this time, 1910 to 1911. Mental ability, particularly, was listed as a characteristic of this person, and the reading suggested research as an appropriate career. He was warned about his Atlantean incarnation, where he had used his scientific ability for selfish purposes, impelling people to submit to another's will. This young man, for this book we'll call him Tom, the records are annotated, ignored the need for constructive use of his talent. He was quickly successful in the electronics field, The work seemed to come to him naturally. He became the director of a large electronics concern that made rangefinders for battleships. He was a pioneer in the development of a number of electronic devices involved in explosives and destructive equipment. During the war, Tom made a great deal of money, but it brought him restlessness and confusion rather than peace and happiness. His problems cost him his fortune and his marriage. He had what amounted to a nervous breakdown. I'm going to ask you a $164 question. Those demons came down, those fallen angels mated with the women on this earth and produced hybrids. But Bud said, and we know the fallen angels were destined to be forever lost, and the book of Hebrews says God did not bend down to help them like he did mankind. Right? But were those offspring destined not to have God's help? Innocent product? Was the man side of them a potential recipient of grace? Are any of those wandering spirits at all touched or capable of being reached by God? We deal in profound mystery here. Who are these demons that recognize Jesus and say, "Thou art the Son of God"? See, I see some. The thing I am so upset about is the territory of demonology has been turned over to lame brains and nuts for the most part. About time somebody addressed this subject and tried to unravel some things, not only scripturally, but philosophically. Am I going to answer that question I just asked? Do you know it's 10:27 here on the West Coast? Are you there? Anybody out there? Do you know it's 1:27 in New York and Florida? How many people that put to sleep? Call up and snore. I am fascinated with this subject. Atlantis. He describes it. I can't go any further unless you call me. I'm not sure what I'm going to do right now next. Now, in Edgar Cayce's prophecies, after the sons of God turned bad, there was a great deal of conflict on Atlantis between those that Case called the sons of the law of one and the sons of Belial. Webster's dictionary defines Belial as wickedness and evil. Sons of Belial as those committed to wickedness and evil. SOBs. Dirty old SOBs. Sons of Belial. Bye. Say bye. No. Let them say bye to you. All you folks out there, say bye. I won't talk. I'll just make them mad. The baffling and thought-provoking case of the Peary Rice maps. Remember that? Indicates that scientifically advanced civilizations exist in prehistoric eras. The story of the maps was brought to the attention of the public on August 26, 1956, in a radio broadcast with the Georgetown University Forum, Washington, D.C. Participating in the broadcast were Reverend Daniel Lynam, director of Western Observatory of Boston College, seismologist and participant in the recent U.S. Navy explorations in Antarctica. Mr. A.H. Mallory, well-known authority on ancient maps. Mr. I.I. Walters, cartographer, formerly with U.S. Hydrographic Office. I showed you that map the other night. Had to be copied from someone, passed down. See, Tiri Reis was a Turkish admiral. His pilot and slave had been on voyages with Columbus. When captured, the pilot had with him a map used by Columbus, and using this and other ancient maps, Tiri Reis compiled the world map. The only problem is Queen Maud Land down Antarctica was not covered with ice. The Atlantis and the world that Edgar Cayce saw, the Nile River flowed westward through the Sahara. They all hung up yet? Now, one of the three times when Atlantis had problems, there was a meeting. They flew around. Oh, I know what I was going to say. That Tiri Reis map could not have been constructed without aerial photographs. And on Atlantis, they had flying machines. Edgar Cayce saw flying machines. And they all flew to one of the major islands after the breakup for a meeting where they would figure out how to deal with the animals that were terrorizing mankind. Well, some of those horror movies coming to life. Edgar Cayce saw them with nuclear and atomic type, the descriptions of weapons they conceived, laser beams. They had a council of war, how to deal with the animals. Horror movies personified. And listen to this one. In Atlantis, entity, he's giving a reading now about an entity, but in Atlantis, entity was one of those who received the messages as to the needs of dividing of the children of the law of one for the preservation of the truths of same in other lands. Among those directors of expeditions to Egypt, Pyrenees, and to Yucatan and land of Og, just before breaking up of the Atlantean land. Now, he's asleep. He's given his reading. Later, with the revivifying of the priests in Egypt, the entity was among those that set about the unifying of the teachings of the Atlanteans. He's asleep. The Egyptians, the Indians, the Indochinans, the Mongoloids, the Aryan peoples, all these were activities of the entity. For he was the messenger or message bearer. You give me a number? Message bearer or means through which the transmission of messages were set up. Now, three extracts follow were given months and years apart. One of the Atlanteans that came into Egypt aided in quelling the people, bringing reason, concerted activity among rulers and those in power, politically and religiously, not only in Egypt, but to many lands to which emissaries were sent. Among young Atlanteans brought into Egypt acted as secretary to priests, instructing those going out for service in other lands. In Atlantean land, when there were those activities that changed the dwelling of the peoples among the younger of those who came into Egypt, entity was what would be called today a psychoanalyst. Now listen close. In that period when the division arose in the land now known as Egypt, years before the Prince of Peace came into Egypt in person, the entity among those who were the builders in the physical sense of the homes and places and dwelling places of the people then in power, not as an architect, not as a laborer, rather as an overseer of those than labored and representing both the native and the alien. What was the date of the actual beginning and ending of the construction of the pyramid? And was 100 years in construction, begun and completed in the period of Ararat's time with Hermes and Ra. You know, Hermes is Enoch. What was the date B.C. of that period? Blank to blank before the Prince of Peace entered Egypt. Now, let's skip over the date for a minute. Now, you know, all fair once we're at it here, so, you know, if they can find it in the camera, it's all right with me. In Atlantean land before the final destruction. In Atlantean land before the final destruction, when the priests came from Egypt to Poseida to gain Poseidia, to gain understanding of Law of One, that there might be records carried back to Egypt. The entity returned with the priest, became embroiled in Egyptian politics. Entity made Egypt his home. Rebellions continued in Atlantis. Many Atlanteans made exodus to Egypt. Entity aided Egyptians in chemistry, building, economics, commerce, labor, arts in the broader sense, music, workers and metals, precious stones. Entity had charge of records brought from Atlantis to Egypt. Gotta hurry. Gotta hurry. Gotta hurry. Entity in the Atlantean and Egyptian land among those who came into Egyptian experience for preserving the records of those activities became a supervisor of the excavations in studying the old records and in preparing and building the house of the records for the Atlanteans as well as part of the house initiate, as well as a part of the house initiate or great pyramid. Entity aided the priests in the preparation of the manner of building the temple of records that lies just beyond that enigma that still is the mystery of mysteries for those who seek to know what were the manners of thought of the ancient sons who made man beast as a part of the consciousness. And there's something here I wanted to read to you. It would be well if this entity were to seek either the one in the Atlantean land that sank, which will rise and is rising again, another in the place of records that leadeth from the Sphinx to the Hall of Records in the Egyptian land, a third in the Aryan or Yucatan land where the temple there is overshadowing saying. Well, here's a picture. Here's a pyramid again. Now, here's a pyramid. In position, this lies as the sun rises from the waters, as the line of the shadows or light falls between the paws of the Sphinx that was set later as the sentinel or guard, which may not be entered from the connecting chambers from the Sphinx right paw until the time has been fulfilled when the changes must be active in this sphere of man. Now, this guy's fascinating. But here's what he's saying. Before that, we find the entity was in the Atlantean land, when there were construction activities of the children of the Law of One during the periods when the land was being broken up. We find the entity was the leading influence for the considering of ways and means in which there would be the preserving of records from the destruction of the lands. It would be well if this entity were to seek either of the three phases of the ways and means in which those records of the activities of individuals were preserved. The one in the Atlantean land that sank, which will rise and is rising again. It would be well if this entity were to seek either of the three phases of the ways and means in which those records of the activities of individuals were preserved. The one in the Atlantean land that sank, which will rise and is rising again. And he prophesied some 20-some years after his death, plus, that it would begin to rise again in the area around Bimini. Another in the place of the records that leadeth from the Sphinx to the Hall of Records in the Egyptian land. Well, I'd start throwing sand if I were there. Another in the Aryan or Yucatan land where the temple there is overshadowing saying. Before that, the entity was in the Atlantean land, when there were those periods necessitating the Exodus because of the destructive forces being used by the children of Belial. The entity was a priestess in the Law of One. And among those who came into the Egyptian land as the elders in those groups for preserving the records, as well as for preserving a portion of that race, that people's. With the periods of the reconstruction after the return of the priest, the entity joined with those who were active in putting the records in forms that were partially of the old characters of the ancient or early Egyptian and part in the newer form of the Atlanteans. These may be found especially when the house or tomb of records is opened in a few years from now. That was July 17, 1941. In Egypt, during the building of many tombs, these are just straight readings. In Egypt, during the building of many tombs that are being found today, the entity aided in the construction of the Hall of Records yet to be uncovered. If Case is right, somewhere in Egypt they'll dig up records of Atlantis. In the Atlantean land, when there was the knowledge through the teachers and leaders of the Law of One, of the coming destruction of the Atlantean or Poseidon land, the entity journeyed from Atlantis or Poseidia first to the Pyrenees or Portugal land, later to the Egyptian land. During those periods after the recall of Ra-Ta, the priest, when there were attempts for the correlations of knowledge, the entity was among the first to set the records. Now, Case was that priest in Egypt, banished to Abyssinia, then called back by his own reincarnation recollection. And if he was, and that being was still in him, talking through him when he went to sleep, the old boy would have a pretty good memory of it. If during those periods after the recall of Ra-Ta, the priest, when there were attempts for the correlation of knowledge, the entity was among the first to set the records that are yet to be discovered or yet to be had of those activities in the Atlantean land, and for the preservation of data that is yet to be found from the chambers of the way between the Sphinx and the Pyramid of Records. In Egypt, of the Atlanteans who set about to preserve records, the entity came with those groups who were to establish the Hall of Records or House of Records, and may directly or indirectly be among those who will yet bring these to light. The entity Hepsuft led in keeping of the records and buildings that were put in their respective places at this time. This was in the period, as given, of blank years before entering the Prince of Peace in the land, to study, to become an initiate in and through whose same activities that were set up by Hepsuft in this dedication ceremony. Give in detail what the sealed room contains. It contains see you tomorrow night.